He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
So what's so special about today?
What's so special? I'm alive.
That's reason enough.
What's so special about today is our sixth anniversary of Sports Nutrition Update.
And what a roller coaster ride it has
no
been.
No kidding.
And like people that we have met.
Oh.
The fantastic interviews that we have experienced.
It's been wonderful. Every interview is totally awesome. Every interview. And we do this for ourselves. Don't we always come out of this wonderful fiasco, brothers, with Len Osanek, who is our studio manager? Don't we always come out of here feeling as high as a kite?
No.
Must be the fumes.
Actually.
Must be that tea he's serving us.
Actually, yeah, it is a highlight of the week and month, and SNU just keeps getting better and better. With more people signing on to our new members page, which is the special area that you need to get into to access each and every edition of SNU and to get in touch with the videos that we're now producing.
Absolutely. So there's lots of good stuff, and we've got, there's just a multitude of interviews that we have to choose from, and it's still frustrating because there's just so many, and we can only do 12 in 1 year, right?
And so much of what we're doing too is expanding, you know, with our conference coming up September the 29th.
And 2007.
That's right. And we're featuring myself and Colgan and Andre Potvin and Brad King as speakers. We're going to have athletic demos. We're going to have a trade show. It's going to be great. Our first annual CHI Sports Nutrition Anti-Aging Health and Fitness trade show and conference.
Very good. I couldn't have said it better.
We are producing what? New courses. We've got all kinds of stuff going on at CHI.
Another thing for those of you that do subscribe to the CHI membership, if you want to burn the CDs, or if you have clients or customers that you would like to have them have a special topic, you can burn the CD and give them one of the CDs of one of the special guest interviews or even Corey's topics that he's done.
Yeah, education is king.
Yeah.
That's what drives the health food and exercise fitness industry.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge of correct execution and application of the supplements. So imagine if you're a retailer and you've got access to, you know, we've got like 180 different cuts of SNU now that you can access. Take your favorite interview or piece and burn it to a CD and give that to one of your customers.
Absolutely.
And it'll stimulate some interaction.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a service.
Service.
Service
hello.
Sells.
No
doesn't
kidding.
It? Absolutely. So,
it certainly does.
Away we go.
So speaking of service, dear, and in the kitchen, what's cooking?
Yeah, right. What's cooking? Corey introduced me one time into a lecture, and he says, Tracy's really good in the kitchen. What was my first line was, I'm not only good in the kitchen, I'm good in other rooms, too.
And I will attest to that.
Nonetheless, we have dinners. We have company for dinner, maybe on a Saturday night or on a Wednesday. And when I'm serving dinner, I like to have my guests use different utensils, even fingers and finger bowls. Makes it a little bit more fun, a little bit more exciting, and it's a lot of table talk is happening. So it's a really good idea to use napkins and have good cloth napkins, if it would be even better. I find that when I go to dinner or a light lunch, that the host sometimes forgets to use napkins. And you know me and my napkin.
Yeah, you're
I'm a napkin freak. Right? Well,
yeah,
not like you. Unlike you, you wipe it on your clothes and you wipe it on the furniture.
No, I like wiping it on the bed sheets too. And the new couch, especially the type of upholstery that stains easily.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
my
yeah.
favorite.
Yes.
Also, underneath things, you can wipe your fingers off.
Yes, I see. Yeah, nice.
Or your pants, your bump, like your rear end, like underneath on your jeans.
Yes,
that's a good one, too.
Yes, I know. That's barbaric. But nonetheless, we're talking about a little bit more sophistication here. So, for example, I had a dinner party, and I served for a starter, which was soup. So we used the large soup spoon. And then onto some sautéed prawns that had the shell, so the guests used their fingers, and I provided a finger bowl and lots of linen napkins. And it was really fun. Every guest that I've served that to really enjoys that part of the meal.
Yep.
Using their fingers, huh? And the
Absolutely.
Finger bowls. It's kind of like a little kids, you know?
Well, there's something to say about the phrase, it's finger licking good. Right? I mean, and there's a connection with food. I mean, it's as old as the hills, but that's how we originally used to eat food.
Right. And I remember one time when I was making this chicken, and then I make my leg of lamb, and my girlfriend says, okay, so what do you do? I said, well, I just throw this on and do that. She goes, no, what actually do you do, Tracy? So I showed her. And what I do is I massage with my hands the oils and the garlic and whatever I'm putting on my meat, fish, or chicken. I use my hands and really massage it. She says, that's what you're doing. And you got to write that in and let people know that's what you do. So it's the love energy that I put into the food.
All the details.
So using your hands and really getting in there really does have a lot to do with the food energy. Okay, so using your fingers. Then I have the roasted garlic. And with that roasted garlic, I use a cocktail fork. So that's a little teeny weeny little fork that you pick the cloves out. And everybody enjoys that part of the meal as well.
Okay.
Then, when we get into having a salad, we use the salad fork, which is a little bit smaller than the actual dinner fork, because the main course fork would be a really large fork with these long, large spikes on it. Cripes, you could cut your throat on it. Some really nice long knives. I like to use a knife and a fork when I'm eating, which I found a lot of people just use a fork. I eat quite English style, actually, which slows me down.
Yeah, you're all prim and proper.
Well, I try to be.
I just like to dig in
and tear it
apart.
I try to be, honey.
Just rip it apart.
And then when you're eating fish, use a flat knife with it. So, and then I have ghee. I use ghee, which is like a butter, that I put on the table, and I put it on a saucer, and I use a spoon. I have a spoon on it, so everybody uses the spoon. So it's really kind of neat to use different utensils and really get into it when you are having a meal. So I like to have about 5 or 6 courses when I have company for dinner. I mean, it's a lot of work, but I plan ahead. I always get organized, drink lots of red wine. I'm staggering back and forth to the table, but nonetheless. Then when I have dessert, depending on how heavy the meal was, I have a light dessert. And so, for example, like a light dessert for me would have fresh cut pineapple, grapes, chocolate pieces. And again, we use our fingers. So, yeah, so that's what I do. And I always make sure that I have lots of fresh linen, clean napkins.
Yes, and I want to make it clear also that when you do serve chocolate, and in my home, this is sucrose-free, dairy-free chocolate, which I think makes a huge difference because I have eaten the standard chocolate that's served, you know, the world over. It's got tons of sugar and cow's milk, and it really makes me sick. But when I use this chocolate that we've been buying lately, it's dark chocolate. It's sweetened with maltitol, which has a very low glycemic index. It doesn't sabotage the immune system. It's very safe.
It's about 70%. 70-75%.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the maltitol as opposed to the sucrose. I think sucrose damages the body and the brain. It makes you feel terrible. And it has almost like a hangover feeling.
Especially if you're drinking wine as well, right? It's just...
Yeah, the cocoa itself is fine, but the dairy and the sugar combined really whack the system. And so this is cocoa butter instead of dairy and maltitol. And I think it's 1,000 times better as a source of cocoa stimulation than the regular table chocolate that people consume.
Right.
And we have to go out of our way to find it, and I think it's well worth it.
Yeah, we do.
So when you
serve everybody loves it.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that, I mean, it all gets gobbled
it's
up.
It's absolutely
never any
delicious.
Left.
It's as good as any Swiss or German chocolate that I've ever eaten.
There's something about chocolate after a meal, isn't there? I don't know what it is, but everybody who we've ever had for dinner, and we've had plenty of people for dinner, they certainly do like that chocolate.
Yeah, and the whole impact of the food, including the dessert, it shouldn't ruin your mind or body.
No.
It doesn't have to.
No.
But people can't seem to get around that.
Yeah.
They bring in something which I consider to be abominable in terms of quality and effects on the body, like a dessert.
Yes.
They ruin the whole meal with that thing, and you don't have to. You can use whole food to make an excellent, high-quality dessert. And then the whole meal is just like from beginning to end. Unbelievable.
Right. So, go for it. When you have company for dinner, you know, guests for dinner or lunch or even breakfast, it's fun. And using your fingers and your spoons and your knives and your forks makes the meal more enjoyable. So, go for it. And don't forget the napkins.
Yes, and husbands, make sure that you satisfy the requirements of your wives when it comes to preparation and the etiquette, because for them, that is the sex.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. It's not the sex in our mind. The sex for them is the fork and the knife that you're using.
Yep.
So keep that in mind.
That's right.
If you want to get what you want.
That's right.
Okay, Let's get right to the next section. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was lovely Ocean Bloom. And Ocean Bloom is a really good public speaker, don't you think so?
Excellent.
She did a great job.
She is smooth with transition to transition. Yeah, excellent concepts and inner mind and excellent articulation skills.
And she's been in the fitness industry for many, many years and is now in the stunt and movie industry. And she's on the ball, and I believe that Ocean will be a household name in our industry for many years to come.
Ocean Bloom.
I know.
Hello. It's pretty hard to forget that.
Exactly.
She's got the body and the look and the talk and the intelligence. So how can you go anywhere except up?
Exactly. Absolutely. So we really enjoyed that. So that interview. So log on, everybody, and listen to her interview. It was wonderful.
Yes. And let's not forget the Status Fitness magazine that her and Rodney have put together that we are ourselves contributing to with our each in separate columns.
Absolutely. Yes.
So, and that's available where? At Chapters?
Chapters. You can buy it at Chapters. Apparently, I think GNC carries it.
And they've got their website, statusfitnessmagazine.com, I think.
That's right.
Something
absolutely.
Like that. If that's not the exact website, then you just plug in Status Fitness to Google.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good old Google. You can find almost anything anywhere,
absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely. Love that Google. So thanks, Ocean.
Right on. Okay, so who is our next month's special guest?
Next month's special guest is Mr. Bruce Cron. Now, Bruce is the founder and owner of ebody.com. And ebody.com is a subscription-based online exercise, nutrition, and motivational network. It was founded in 2003 with corporate headquarters in Oakville, Ontario. And ebody offers an online subscription-based wellness system using proprietary software to generate customized nutrition, supplement, exercise, and coaching programs. Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been on his site. He gave me a password that brought me in, and I was very impressed with what he has produced and manufactured. It's an excellent site for people who want to know how to train, how frequently, what exercises, what to eat, when, the quality. You know, it's something that is kind of self-directed. You just plug in the information and fill out the surveys and questionnaires, and you get this incredible concept back, which is a whole lifestyle program.
Right. It's like an online personal trainer.
Absolutely.
Kind of thing, you know, or lifestyle coach.
Yeah, but it
like
also
that.
What I was impressed with was the quality of food, because a lot
right.
of these internet concepts don't include super high quality whole food.
Well, this goes to show you how many times do we get people emailing us that want a link onto us, get a link, and you say, okay, Tracy, go through it. So I go through it, and he says, take a look at the food. So I always look at the food aspect, and if any of them, and I know a lot of them aren't very pleased with us, but white sugar, white flour, white, I take a look at anything, it's like, ah. Because
right.
I don't want, we don't promote that, so why would I want to link that onto us?
Well, also, they don't understand nutrition science.
Yes.
Anybody that has a book that promotes the use of refined food does not understand with clarity and purpose nutrition science. These things undermine health and destroy it. So if you've got a cookbook loaded with refined salt and sugar and margarine and et cetera, et cetera, you don't really understand what's going on. Sorry, Charlie, no tuna.
Yeah. Okay, so we really look forward to Bruce Cron's
interview.
Yeah, and
by the way, Bruce and his brother Brian worked with EAS Canada, and I was a consultant to EAS through my experience with Bill Phillips down in the States, and they're a wonderful pair. I'll tell you, these guys like to have a good time, but they're in great shape. And Bruce is really committed to a positive, healthy lifestyle. He looks fantastic. He's a real ladies guy.
I must admit, he's married. But anyway, the point is...
Yeah, to a beautiful wife, too, who's really fit.
Pretty good looking. Both pretty good, darn
no
good
kidding.
Looking, I will
so
say
another,
that.
Good role models to promote
exactly,
what they're doing.
Exactly, absolutely. So we look forward to that.
Right on. Okay, so let's get to it. What is your hot topic?
My hot topic today is called Family Feud.
Oh, lovely.
It's really funny because I think that everyone that I know or that you know has a problem with one or two of their families.
I don't know anyone that doesn't have a problem
especially if they live in the same city or the same area. I mean, I'm fortunate because my I don't know if that's fortunate or not, because I really miss my family. My family is scattered throughout the world, so fortunately I get along with all my family. But I really would like to be able to spend more time with my family. My family's a lot older. I have a brother 62, a brother 72, a sister 52. They're all over the world, so I don't get a chance to see them that much. We do family reunions every few years, but it's just not enough for me. But I think what I'm trying to say is that just because they're family doesn't guarantee that you'll get along and be good best friends that are loyal and understanding. It could turn out quite the opposite.
And this is when we get into expectations.
Yowzie. I think that we have high expectations of our family, and this is what leads us to disappointment. I'm not saying that this is right, but it just seems to be this way for many.
So what are some of those expectations?
Well, we expect our families to be loyal. We expect our families not to lie or cheat or steal.
How about to be friendly?
How about to be nice to us?
How about your brother or sister? Would you think it's unreasonable to want them to be nice to you?
Of course.
But how many people actually have brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, that are nice to them?
Well, I've witnessed that many families do not show respect for one another. They treat the postman better than they do their own flesh and blood.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it is.
And so where do people get that from, and what's all that about?
I don't know. What do they say? Familiarity breeds contempt. Isn't that a saying?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not agreeing with this, but it's really
well. It's more an observation of a phenomenon, like when you hang out with the same person all the time. Mm-hmm. However, my best friend, and I've got lots of good friends.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm
blessed. You've got a lot of male friends.
But you know how I judge my friends, my true friends. My true friends allow me to be who I am without judgment, ridicule, or making me feel unworthy. They don't degrade me. They don't put me down. They don't get off on making me feel bad.
Yeah.
They build me up. They compliment me. We say jokes to each other. We have fun together. Mm-hmm. There's no malice in them towards me.
Yeah.
They don't want to hurt me.
No.
And guess what? I don't want to hurt them either.
Exactly.
So those are my best friends.
Yeah.
And you know what? You can't always find that in your family. Like, oh. I certainly don't have it in my father. I've got to some degree that in my mother. I've got to some degree that in my brothers and sisters. And they're spread all around. And of course, you and I both have parents that were married more than one time.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates a whole dynamic of human interaction. And you never know what's going to come out from that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing is that just because your family lives in the same area that you do doesn't mean that they want to invite you to every function that they have, or that they'll confide in you and trust in you with their secrets. Again, it could be quite the opposite. So I think sometimes because you can have fun with your family, but just their friends are not your friends. Do you know what I mean?
And also their spouses may not be your friends.
Exactly.
Let's say that your brother, who you have a good relationship with, marries a woman who's poisonous, and no one else likes her in the family. But for some reason, he's got a connection to her, and then she starts to whittle away and do her thing. I mean, I've seen this more than one time.
So have I.
And listening to people as a counselor, and the stuff, the bizarre activities that go on in families, it's a freak show.
I know it is. It's really a crying
shame. It's a Peyton Place.
Yeah.
The other day I told someone, I said, you walk down the street and in every house that you walk into, you're going to find a Peyton Place magnified 1,000 times.
Oh, I know. That's why. Yeah, I remember you said that. Respect is of absolute importance, and if you don't receive it from a so-called loved one, then opt to get out. It's just not worth the aggravation. It's hard on your own personal health to deal with unkind, uncaring, and rude individuals, and unfortunately they could be in your family.
Yes, and you know what? You do judge people by their actions.
Yeah.
The word is important, and there is a concept that your man's word should parallel his action, but
mm-hmm.
when it doesn't, you don't go by the word. You go by the action. That's the bottom line. A man is defined. A woman is defined by their actions.
Right.
So you talk a good game.
Yeah.
But let me see the action that unfolds in your life. And that's how we judge a human being in our mind. Not in the way that we condemn people, but we look at people and determine, you know what? If you are really committed to me in a friendship relationship, then I want to see the action supporting that. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that.
No. Gossip.
Gossiping. What about gossiping in families?
I know. You're the only one that doesn't know, yet everybody else
knows. Yeah, what about
knows?
When, okay, I, like for example, if I know that my sister or brother is having an affair and their spouse doesn't, and that spouse is a really good friend to me, has never hurt me, what do you do? What's your advice on that? Do you tell the spouse? The spouse is a friend to you. You don't really like what your sister or brother is doing. As a matter of fact, you hate it. And so then you go to their house for dinner, and you know that she's cheating on your friend. What do you do?
Oh, that's a tough
one. Is that living a lie? Do you stay away?
Yeah, I stay away. Because you know what I tell people? I say, if you want to keep a secret, you keep it to yourself. So if my friend is cheating on her husband or whatever, I say, I don't want to know. Okay.
Let's say you walk into a restaurant and you see them with another person romantically involved, and then you find out.
But you know what? I have done that. I have ratted out. And I got in trouble. I got into big fat trouble.
It
came back to me.
Yeah.
I got in trouble because they got back together again, and then I was the big bad person, and then they never saw me again. So you know what? Just keep your mouth shut and just stay out of it.
I know. Love between people is a pretty bizarre thing.
It sure is. So, you know, just you got to think twice before you do that. Keep your nose clean.
So how do you stay away from the family feud, and how do you live a relatively happy life when you're surrounded by all this muck and mire?
Just take it for what it's worth. You know what I mean? Just don't get yourself involved. You've got your own friends. You've got your own friends to deal with, and your family's friends are not necessarily your friends. And just because they're having a party doesn't mean that you're going to be invited. It's none of our business. None of our business what our families are doing, really.
So people that make it their business, when you make it your business, that's when you get into trouble.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nosy Parkers.
And you know what? The more you get involved, the more problems that you have. So I'd opt to stay out. I'm staying out.
Okay, good. So you're focusing on your life. You're staying well. There's a lot of stuff inside each one of us that we have to work on. So you're going to the gym. You're working. You're making progression in your life. You're seeking friendship in the people that respond to you in the way that you need them to respond to. Because isn't that what we want in people? Not what they want to give us for themselves, but we're looking for something that we need so that we feel
exactly
valued.
Yes, but the thing is, if it's not making you feel good, right, and every time you go to a family function, you feel like crap after every time.
Because of the actions of the people.
Exactly. Then why would you want to go?
That's the definition.
It never changes.
That we could associate with being insane. Insanity is you keep going to the family affair. Why? Why do people do that? I met a girl on a plane, and she and I had a conversation. Never met her before. She's from Hong Kong, and she's got this connection in the Oriental tradition of being traditionally obligated to obey her father, who I found out was extremely mean and cruel, had abused her mother and abused everyone in the family, and she kept going back for more. And so I said, free yourself from this hideous person. Unfortunately, he is your father. But you know what? He's not a good man, because how do you know if someone is good or bad? They're defined by their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
So wake up, smell the roses and the coffee, have a look at the writing on the wall, and then decide for yourself whether or not you want to live a contemptuous, hard life, bound by people that you have nothing in common with, or maybe seeking relationship with other people that are more compatible.
And just because they're family does not mean that you have to socialize with them. It does not mean
I think
mean
that's where we get into a lot of trouble. People feel obligated to do that.
Yeah, I just say, forget it. I'm not going to spend Christmas with people that make me feel bad. I refuse to do it. Stand up on your own two feet and be firm about this.
That's right, because in every other example of an animal on the planet, they grow up out of the nest, they leave, and they don't come back.
And you
they're
know
on
what?
Their own.
You know what? You're just as bad as they are if you're doing it. If you're going ahead and you're doing it, and you hate every minute of it, and you can't stand being there, you're just as big a liar as they are. So you know what? You deserve what you get if you're going to continue to do it.
Yeah,
so
I think that you have to make amends the best that you can, and when people ignore that and don't care after you've tried to make retribution and tried to make your case known, if you're still rejected and still mistreated, you have to swallow it. And it's hard, though, because if you're a loving, caring person who's intimate with your own feelings.
Accept the things that you cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, the serenity prayer, right?
Exactly.
That always comes in, yeah.
Great.
Okay, so the family feud is a part of life, and it's a part of health, isn't it?
It sure is.
And to be well, you've got to overcome these obligations for a tradition. I think this is the new age, dear. We've got to stand tall within ourselves and say, you know what? I'm doing what's right. I'm not going to do what's wrong.
Exactly. I agree.
Awesome. Good stuff, dear. So what is your final word?
We just have to accept that people are going to stay in our hearts even when they don't stay in our lives.